Welcome to Purple Politics Nevada. I'm your host, Lucia Starbuck. The name refers to the fact that the state isn't red or blue, it's both. Today, we're talking about what matters most to rural voters. I spoke to community members in Lovelock and Winnemucca, as well as the local Democratic Party chairs in Lyon and Elko counties, about issues ranging from resources and taxes to the current political climate. My first stop was Lovelock, where I met Wesley Bohannon, a father of three boys who just started working at U.S. Silica's EP Minerals nearby mine. What issues are most pressing in Lovelock that you'd want to see addressed?
I'd love to see more things for the children. I feel like this is a community that I love because it is safe to raise a family in. It's very family oriented. But a Boys and Girls Club would be great for this community. An outlet for our teens more than just sports. You know, something where children could be safe. That's something that's always on my mind being a parent is the safety of my children.
Are there any other resources you'd like to see here in Lovelock?
Definitely. Well, it would be cool. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, a Walmart would be nice. Just because, you know, I spend like $50 a day at Safeway opposed to a Sam's Club or something. And then having to make that commute to Reno to be able to do that shopping. To get anywhere, you're looking at 70 miles. And our vehicle just broke down recently, so we're on foot. And I feel like Safeway is overpriced, but then when you put in the money that you're going to commute, then it comes out like the same thing. It's tough. Inflation in our economy.
Have you had to travel for healthcare as well?
Yes, definitely. My middle son just broke his arm on a go-kart. All of his appointments are in Reno. If he wasn't half Native American, then I wouldn't be able to make it to his appointments. The tribe provides transportation to his appointments. But if it wasn't for the graces of them, then I wouldn't make it to his appointments. That's another huge thing is something happens here and, you know, the only thing we really have is an ER, but everything they refer you to is in Reno.
Have you always lived in Lovelock?
No, I haven't. I moved here in 2017, but now that I do live here, I'm thankful that I do because just how much Reno has grown and then the prices of rent in Reno as well are just... Compared to here, it's really hard. I don't know how people do it. How do they pay their rent? Another issue is the homeless population in our country is overwhelming.
Did you vote in the recent primary or in caucus?
No, I haven't because I'm a convicted felon, so I don't have that privilege right now. But as soon as I regain that privilege, I would like to be able to vote.
Why is voting important to you?
To make our voice known, to put in our input of what happens in our country, I think is huge. That we have that privilege. Other countries don't get to vote.
I met Bohannon while he was on his way to meet his soon-to-be wife, Denise Street, a member of the Fallon Paiute Shoshone tribe. But she doesn't share his stance on voting. What issues are most important to you as a voter?
For the upcoming election this year? Mm-hmm. Oh man, I think you picked the wrong person. So I'm not really into politics, seriously though. I just feel like it's just a big show, you know what I mean? They like to make us believe that we have power or that our votes matter, but they don't. I think that they're just kind of set on what they're going to do, kind of like what's going on with the mines now. We have a voice and we're trying to use it, the tribes, but they have their mindset on what they're going to do already. No matter what we say, things aren't going to change, but we need to get out there and do something about it. Having people prayer and talking about the impacts that that's having on the tribal communities, the mines and stuff. But as for the voting local and national, no. I think I just voted last time. That was my first time voting, but I don't plan on voting anymore.
When you're talking about the mines, are you talking about like lithium mining?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think can be done to better support the tribes in Nevada?
Cortez Masto, she came and talked to the tribes and asked us that, and had a pretty good meeting with her. So I think that's one person that's trying to make a difference, or at least, you know, giving us a voice, we're hearing us.
What did she say that you liked?
I was actually just surprised that she was interested and came out and made an appearance, actually. Yeah. I don't think the tribes are heard. They know that we're here, but I don't think they're really big on seeing much change.
Anything you would like to see be done to improve the future for your children?
Oh, I'm doing that. For the politics, I'm not relying on them totally at all. We're working on going off-grid and being Native, so connected to the culture. Everything has a spirit, you know, and finding that out and finding out so much more, because, I mean, I was born in the city. I wasn't born on a reservation or anything, but coming to my culture and learning more about it and what we believe in. And oral history is so powerful. A lot of people have done a lot to get rid of history in general. There's a lot of things that we've been told that have been very watered down. So going off grid and finding God and going that way so that we don't have to rely on our politicians, for me, that's the best thing I can do for my kids, is just empower them that way, just to be on their own.
What do you think can be done to protect natural resources in the earth?
Listening to the people that know, the tribes, and also the environmentalists. There's a reason that so many people are concerned about something. America said that water isn't a right. To me, that's one of the most alarming things, because water is a right for everybody. And if we have the minds that they're kind of just brushing under the rug, and I think that that's where a lot of politicians in Nevada should start, because right now we're being looked at because lithium is the new gold, right? That's something that if they want to make an impact in this community, in the tribal communities, is they should start rallying with the natives.
Would you want to see lawmakers come to the table and talk with you guys about your thoughts on the lithium mines?
Oh, they hear us. They know what's going on. Well, they make it sound good anyways. It's about money and jobs and helping this and empowering that, and it's for our future. They're destroying our natural resources to get that.
Next, I made the hour-long drive to Winnemucca, where I met Dennis Humphreys at the Humboldt County Library while he was using the Wi-Fi to write. That's because he lives off the grid. He's a grandfather who works part-time at the Model T Casino. What issues are most important to you?
The economy, really. Everything else centers around the economy. A lot of the problems we're having now are the result of a decimated economy when Biden took over. I saw more money in my paycheck every week when Trump was in. The cost of living is so much higher. The cost of food is so much higher.
Where have you felt the high prices the most?
In the food, primarily in the meats. The amount offered in some of the stores, as far as non-food items, the quantity's not there.
What do you want to see be done about the prices of things?
It seems like things are very much controlled. I'd like to see more of a free market system back the way it was 30, 40 years ago, or even during Trump's time, it was much better. I like to see the price of oil come down, because that causes a major issue with transportation and shipping. I like to see us become more energy independent.
What aspects of the free market do you like?
I like total freedom in the market in terms of people coming up with unique ways or new production capabilities, new products, innovative products, more competition. There's just a little too much growing control that I see in the industry.
Would you be interested in like grants for like entrepreneurs?
Oh, grants for entrepreneurs would be good. I'd like to see, instead of college, grant money for kids getting out of high school that have certain strengths, especially apprenticeships, because I think that's where the future is going to be. Kids that can do HVAC, electricity, and that type of thing. On-job training is going to be the best. It's going to be much superior to what college has to offer now.
Did you vote in the primary and the caucus?
No, unfortunately, I didn't. I didn't get to. But I'm definitely conservative, so. But I will be voting in the main elections.
What conservative ideas do you agree with?
Basically all of them, especially freedom of speech, which I feel is being curtailed a lot. I stand side by side with Elon Musk as far as that's concerned. Also, our right to carry arms. That's an important factor. My ancestors helped finance and were in the revolution, so I'm very aware of history.
You just heard from Dennis Humphreys of Winnemucca and Wesley Bohannon and Denise Street, a couple in Lovelock. Next up, you'll hear from two local Democratic chairs in rural Nevada who have very strong feelings about the importance of voting. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you're listening to Purple Politics Nevada. Now, you're going to hear from Lance Whitney, who was just elected as the Elko County Democratic Central Committee Chair in January. Thanks so much for joining me, Lance.
Thank you for having me, Lucia.
So, you were just elected as the Elko County Democratic Chair at the beginning of this year. What are your goals for this election cycle?
The same goals that I had when I was elected chair back in 2003. To grow the board and to grow the party. Obviously, we know that the rural, especially Elko County, we're red counties, and that's okay. I enjoy a good spirited debate with my Republican colleagues. but we've got to bring the party back to where, at least where it was before. When I was elected in 2003, we essentially went from 22 members all the way to 55. And then obviously priority number two is to make sure that we hold the White House and the Senate and hopefully grow our numbers in the House of Representatives.
Before the committee election, I spoke to Dylan Jones, who is the treasurer of 25 years. She was the chair tempore at that time. And she spoke about Democrats not wanting to be super public about their politics. There was a lot of hesitancy. She spoke about difficulties in getting people wanting to march in the 4th of July parade, for example. Are you seeing the same thing?
The political climate has most definitely changed, because I remember when I was here, you know, back in the 2000s. You didn't have a lot of Democrats, but they weren't afraid to say that they were a Democrat. I want to change that. We've got to learn to get along. We can differ in our opinions. We can differ in our policy and our politics. Republicans in other places, like Vegas or Washoe, should not have to be afraid to say they're Republican. I shouldn't be afraid that my house might get vandalized because I put a Biden yard sign in my yard. That's not how we operate. This is the United States. Donald Trump changed the political climate to where I almost feel like we're at each other's throats. There's just this level of demonization that shouldn't exist.
Before the committee election earlier this year, your treasurer is sending an SOS message to try to get people to apply for the positions. What has contributed to the lack of interest in the local party?
When you're chair of a party, you've got to put your boots on the ground and you have to actively grow the party, keep people engaged. And I think that there is a lack of that. And I'm certainly not calling anybody out. When I took over the party, I was passionate about it. Of course, I was also 23. You know, we were up against George W. Bush in the Iraq War. And it was like a confluence of events ripe for the picking. But my goal is going to be to grow those numbers again. I've already brought on 6 additional members.
It's interesting that you mentioned the passion coming out of Bush's presidency. I would imagine that it would be similar energy to try to stop another Trump presidency.
I think so. And I think that that's why there's going to be passion this year. There's not a lot of passion behind Joe Biden. And that kind of bothers me. But I guess I kind of understand people's points about his age. But I'm not an ageist. I feel like with age comes wisdom. The stuff he's been able to accomplish in his first term is pretty incredible. I think that this movement this year is going to be less about the Democrats being excited about Joe Biden and more about keeping Donald Trump as far away from the White House as possible.
Is there anything that the Biden administration has done that you've seen the impacts directly in Elko?
Oh, absolutely. The infrastructure bill. We're going to be getting $25 million for the railroad. I mean, that's huge. That's a gigantic influx into a small community. I mean, we're not tiny. We're not Eureka. That's going to put a lot of individuals to work, and it's going to dump a lot of money into the community.
What's one issue that's most important to you personally as a voter?
The overturning of Roe versus Wade really bothered me. Now, I know I'm a man, but I'm also a gay man. My mother and the women around me are incredibly important. The idea that you can take away the rights of a woman to talk to her doctor, I can't wrap my brain around. Obviously, I'm always worried about gay rights because Clarence Thomas, in the ruling for Roe v. Wade, opened it up the idea of overturning marriage equality. Oh my God, this is the 21st century. It's 2024, for Pete's sake. Obviously, healthcare is huge for me. You know, I was part of the group responsible for helping to pass the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. I'm just like any other American. I certainly do not like the size of our debt. And although I'm not a father, I've got nieces and nephews that mean the world to me. And I just wonder, what is that going to look like for them? Climate is very bothersome.
What issues are most important to Elko Democrats?
I think the environment is a huge issue for any Democrat. But it's like Elko County Democrats, they fundamentally understand something that's a little bit different than maybe probably a lot of other Democrats understand, is that there's a way to create environmental policy that still allows business to operate, because our gold mines blow things up and pull gold from the earth. But there's also an element of reclamation. There's a way to do both.
What makes a rural Democrat unique?
I think that the difference between a rural Democrat and an urban Democrat is we tend to be a little more moderate, if not a little more conservative. I am not a Bernie Sanders Democrat. I don't hate Bernie Sanders. I just don't really agree with a lot of his philosophy. I'm a Harry Reid Democrat. I'm socially liberal, fiscally conservative. We need immigration reform, and we need it like now. I'm not about building the wall, but I can understand why the other side might be. I've got a lot of friends who live in bigger cities, and they tend to be pretty darn liberal. And I even disagree, except social issues.
What solutions do you want to see about the border and immigration?
I always really favored Obama's policy. There's got to be a path to legal citizenship that isn't completely riddled with so many obstacles. I do believe in amnesty. I'm sorry, but like, this is the United States. If they're law-abiding citizens, give them a path. They just came here because they wanted a better life. Now, if there are legal immigrants here that are committing crimes, they got to go, plain and simple. It's such a big issue. I certainly don't have all the answers, but I'll tell you what, I would love it if we could sit down as Republicans, Democrats, independents, and say, folks, let's get something on the table.
Do you think that rural voters feel heard by candidates?
Yeah, I mean, I do to a certain extent. We've got a lot of our politicians in Nevada that do their best to hear from rural voters. Now, are we heard like Vegas or Reno? No, but that's just part of being a rural voter. You've got to distribute who you're going to talk to based upon the population. I think that rural voters get frustrated because they don't think their voice is heard. And then there are times when politicians ignore you, but politicians that simply will not come up here, I have a problem with that. If all you're doing is spending your time between Vegas and Reno, and you're not coming to Elko or Lander or Pershing or White Pine, that's an issue. Nevada's a swing state. Granted, you know you're not going to win Elko County, but if you can mitigate the losses, that helps your cause. And the only way to mitigate those losses is to show up.
That was Lance Whitney, the Elko County Democratic Party chair. Next, let's switch to western rural Nevada. I spoke to Tony Stevenson, the Lyon County Democratic Central Committee Chair at the Dayton Valley Branch Library. Thanks so much for joining me, Tony.
You're welcome.
I've been talking to rural community members about issues that are most important to them, and they've been telling me about wanting more resources in their local community.
I definitely hear some of that.
What are some resources people want in Lyon County?
There's both the things that make the community nicer and the things that we really, really need to have. Out here in Dayton, we've needed a second bridge for 20 years over the Carson River, connecting both sides of Dayton. We also need solutions to Highway 50. Highways are meant to move people and goods from one end to the other kind of quickly, but it also creates tremendous safety issues. We just had a little girl killed trying to cross a busy part of Mound House because there is no safe way for folks to get from one side of the highway to the other.
What can lawmakers do to address safety in Lyon County?
Proper funding has to happen so our highways are safe. For a long time, we've had an issue with wild horses crossing the highway, and that can be very, very dangerous at 60 miles an hour. Is reducing the speed limit going to help? I don't think so. Yeah, you can slam on your brakes, but if a horse decides to dart out in the highway, that's 1,200 pounds versus your car. Neither one wins. I do believe that the horse fencing has helped. NDOT came up with a relatively inexpensive and quick solution. So what can we do about pedestrian traffic? Because you have miles of Highway 50 where there is no place to cross. If we put in traffic lights or roundabouts, now we're impeding traffic. So we're kind of defeating the whole highway idea. Overhead pedestrian bridges or underpasses, why can't we do something like that? Maintain pedestrian safety and traffic mobility.
What are some challenges when it comes to broadband internet and phone coverage?
Oh, they're terrible. We're locked in to either one of two major carriers, AT&T or Charter. They're both expensive. Neither one is 100% reliable. Cell service is spotty in a lot of locations to non-existent. You can drive from one end of the county to the other and not be able to maintain a phone conversation because you lose cell service. We need our state officials, especially people on the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission, to look at this and to demand solutions from the carriers.
What are some of the consequences if you don't have access to broadband internet?
We're in a point in time where broadband is essential. If you have a snow day and students need to keep learning, they can't because they don't have the internet bandwidth they need to get on Zoom or whatever medium they're using and log into class. You know, they have to go to Starbucks. Well, if school is shut down because it's a bad snow day, how are you going to get to Starbucks? That doesn't happen. Okay. If you're going to work remotely, you can't without reliable broadband.
What about when it comes to healthcare? There is a hospital, Southline Medical Center in Yerington, but there's no hospital in Fernley and Dayton. What are some healthcare challenges for Lyon County?
So if you live in Fernley, you're 40 minutes away because you have to go to Reno or Churchill. If you live in Dayton, at best, with no traffic, you're 35 minutes away from Carson Tahoe. We don't have very many doctors. That should not be acceptable. We need better solutions. And if you have a hospital improvement district, what is that hospital improvement district doing? At some point, it has to say, look, we need to increase taxes to make this happen. And a lot of people say, no, we don't want more taxes. So we're in this vicious cycle of we have a clearly defined need. But because of the structure of the government, we can't get the need met.
So it seems like you're pro-raising taxes if it means an increase in resources. But how do you respond to the Republican governor, for example, pledging not to raise taxes?
We've cut taxes so much, we are not delivering basic services. People have to understand the government is not about making money. That's what private business does. The government is about providing services to its people. That requires money. And I think in a lot of ways, over the last 40 years, we've really sold ourselves short with this no new taxes mantra. It's one thing to get rid of wasteful spending. It's quite another to not have basic services that you need to have for a healthy society.
Earlier in the show, we heard from voters who were very passionate about the issues they see in their local communities. However, they're not really looking to lawmakers or politicians or candidates to solve them. What would you want to say to these community members?
Voting is not just a fundamental right and responsibility. It's how we exercise change. You have representatives going to Carson City or going to D.C. that don't represent you, that don't represent the change you need, then vote for somebody else. Plain and simple. In our rural communities, we have pretty much one-party rule. That's hurt us because we don't have other voices in the conversation.
I spoke to leadership in the Elko County Democratic Party, and they spoke about Democrats are kind of hesitant to be public about their politics. People aren't wanting to be like, oh, hey, I'm a Democrat. Hey, I live in rural Nevada. Are you seeing the same thing?
I've seen that change over time, yes. The last time our group was involved in a parade in Virginia City, water bottles and sodas were thrown at our group from the second floor of some of the folks on C Street. People feel like it's okay to yell at us, the Democrats, because of something that happened in Washington, D.C., not seeing the obvious disconnect there. Sorry, but I don't have Joe Biden on speed dial. And even if I did, I don't think he'd take my advice.
What do you think the difference is between a rural Democrat and an urban Democrat?
Things like recreational shooting. I know lots of Democrats that do that out here. We also really believe background checks are a good thing. And let's look at, you know, how many people go hunting. Hunting is not just a pastime out here. For some people, that's how they supplement their freezer. For us, the outdoors is a big deal. So when we give away public lands for development, that limits our outdoor experience. When we lose land to big mining concerns, that's a really big deal.
Do you feel listened to as a rural Democrat or a rural voter?
Depends on who I'm talking to.
When do you feel heard and when don't you?
Sometimes locally. When I say we, I mean we, the residents of Dayton and Lyon County, have raised a stink about a couple of issues we've been listened to, but often we feel ignored. Within the state, how do you convince everybody from Clark County that the rural way of life is important? That's a tough sell, even though there's rural communities within Clark.
What are some wins that you and your neighbors have been able to accomplish locally?
I think the biggest was preventing Old Dayton Valley Road from getting renamed Donald Trump Way or whatever they wanted to call it. That was huge because we were going against a mindset. So I do think that for folks who feel disenfranchised, don't. Look for common ground.
And you band together with both Democrats and Republicans to push back against that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because it was a community issue. Even though it was a political issue on the surface, we had everybody in our group from realtors to stay-at-home moms. And that's another part of living in the rurals. Yeah, you know, off-road vehicles on the road. That's pretty common. So we really had a broad coalition. It was people that had not been politically active at all, but they were all upset about this because it happened after the January 6th insurrection.
How did you feel when there's now a plaque at the Justice Complex, so the name change did go through?
Very disappointing, because that was a case of the commissioners not listening. The opposition was overwhelming. Fortunately, it's a plaque. It can be taken down in the future.
What do you have to say to people who agree on the issues but still are not, the first thought in their mind isn't like, let's go to my lawmaker?
Whether we like them or not, our elected officials are how we get things done. If you look at the traffic issues here, we have a true rush hour in the morning and in the evening. That wasn't the case, 23 years ago. These are the kind of things you don't get changed without politics, without politicians. In this upcoming election, we have to look at those folks who are running for office during the primary, and then once we hit the stretch in June, from June through November, we got to ask the politicians, what is your position on Netherbridge and Dayton, the perceived increase in crime? What is your position on the increase in homeless here in Lyon County? How do you feel about senior services? What do you think is the best way to alleviate what many perceive to be overdevelopment? What is your stance on the wild horses? When it comes to our local issues, I'm not looking at the White House. I'm looking at the State House, and I'm looking at the county courthouse. That's where we have to go to make our voices heard and to get these issues corrected.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me, Tony.
Thank you for the interview.
That was Tony Stevenson, Lyon County Democratic Party Chair. Earlier, you heard from Lance Whitney, the Elko County Democratic Party Chair. The beginning of the show included Lovelock couple Wesley Bohannon and Denise Street, along with Dennis Humphreys of Winnemucca. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you've been listening to Purple Politics Nevada. You can catch all of our episodes on Apple or Google Podcasts.